Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 will be in verses 15 through 18. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, we do thank you again for the evening that you've given us. Thank you for the day that you've brought us through. Father, thank you for the safety you've given as we traveled into church tonight. Father, I ask that you would bless our time together, allow it to be fruitful in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to hear from heaven tonight. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a will to want to apply the things that you give us tonight to our spiritual life. Father, I ask that you bless the kids in Kid Venture, Lord. Continue to speak to their hearts through the Bible lessons. I ask that you would just help the Word of God to take root in their hearts as well. Father, we ask that you would, Lord, please bless our time together. We don't take it for granted, Father. We do, Lord, want to hear from heaven. We don't want to just go through the church motions, Lord, that we are familiar with, singing the song, standing, sitting, all the things that go with it. Father, we do really want to do like Mary did and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen intently to what you have for us tonight. Father, may the Holy Spirit help us to understand and to see how to apply to our life, for it's in His In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about the Christian's walk. What is the Christian's walk? First of all, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In order to successfully walk the Christian's walk, we have to have the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes from His Word. And as we learn tonight and are reminded of a Christian's walk is a wise walk, it's a redeeming walk, and it is a spiritual walk. We are not to walk according to the ways of this world. The Bible does tell us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Our walk is to be distinct. And when I say our walk, it is our life. It is to be distinct. And we ought to have a desire to be the shining lights that God calls us to be in this dark world. Because it does testify of our relationship with the Lord, how close we are walking to the Lord, how much we are filled with the Holy Spirit. If indeed we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as I talk to us tonight about the Christian walk, it should be a desire of all of God's people to have this walk that really exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and helps us to keep moving forward in this darkened, sin-cursed world that continues to go away from God. I mean, it just gets worse and worse as the days go on, but I want us to just focus on the Lord tonight. I want us to think about how good God is, and truly, when we have this type of walk we're going to talk about tonight, the walk becomes sweeter as we continue to walk with our Lord and Savior. In verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The Christian's walk is a wise walk because we receive the wisdom of God to be able to live in this world, to be able to resist sin, to be able to draw nigh unto the Lord. And in order to have a wise walk, we have to be aware of some things. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That word circumspectly means to look on all sides, to watch carefully, to guard against danger or surprise, to look exactly, accurately, and diligently. Because we know that our adversary is like a lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He studies us. He wants to trip us up. He wants to get us off the straight and narrow path. And he does it with certain things in our surroundings. So to have a wise walk, you and I have to be aware of our surroundings. What are we surrounding ourselves with? What are we allowing to influence our life? Surroundings could be music, TV, social media, the news media. It could be individuals that are not walking with the Lord. To have a wise walk, we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to carefully watch and guard ourselves against the things of this world, anything that would hinder our walk with the Lord, anything that would question the truth of God's word. The devil has not changed his tactics. The devil still uses the same old tactic that he got Adam and Eve tripped up on, and that was, yea, hath God said. Surely God didn't mean that you would die. Always getting God's people to question what God's word really means. For instance, as we were singing, Come and Dine, just the fact that Jesus did turn the water into wine, his first miracle he created, that he performed at a wedding. And many people use that instance in Scripture. Many of God's people that call themselves Christians use that Scripture to justify them drinking alcohol, yet dismissing all the other verses in Scripture that speak against drinking alcohol. I mean, I can take any verse in the Bible and justify any evil deed I want to do and say, well, the Bible says I can. But yet, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if we're letting God's word dwell richly in our heart, if we are craving and desiring a walk with God, then we will understand, we'll be able to take Scripture for what it is without any primary interpretation, and the Holy Spirit of God will help us to understand what God wants for our life, because God desires the best for our life. And again, we have to be aware of our surroundings. What is it that we are allowing ourselves to be surrounded with that can influence what we do in life, influence our decisions, influence our relationship with the Lord? And sometimes it's even people. Sometimes it's even people that we have to think about. Again, our best friends should not be those that we talk to the most and hang out the most, should not be those that do not believe in Jesus Christ. They should not be those that are God haters. My best friend should not be someone that doesn't go to church, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't believe in God, or any of that. Now, we are to witness to the lost. We're to be a testimony to the lost, but they are not to be the ones that we seek after for any type of counsel. It's amazing. My wife is a part of a Facebook group called Mom's Chat, or not Mom's Chat, but it's the Oxford Moms group, whatever. And if you want to know anything that's going on, just go there and you'll find out everything that's going on in this town. But it's just amazing some of the things the ladies are seeking for advice on, and they're getting the advice that is totally non-biblical. As God's people, where we should go is the Word of God. We should get our face in this book to find out what God says for His people and how we should handle any situation that comes in our life. Again, if we want to have a wise walk, we got to be aware of our surroundings and aware of the people who might be hindering what God wants to do in our life. Because in Ephesians 5:11, the Bible does say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If you and I want to have that wise walk, if we want to have the wisdom of God, then we cannot surround ourselves with things that are contrary to the nature of our holy and heavenly Father. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul writes to the believers at Philippi, and he wants to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. He wants to encourage them to be the shining light in this world. You realize we have an adversary that doesn't just want to destroy us, but he doesn't want our light to shine very brightly. I mean, I tell you, I love flashlights. I mean, I love the brightest flashlight I can get. I do not like the cars that have the LED lights that blind you when they're not even on bright. You're driving down the road, you're like, they got their lights on bright, and you flash them, wanting them to turn their lights down, and they turn them up brighter because, oh, okay, I guess that was not on bright. But I love flashlights that I can go out in the woods and I can see where I'm going. God wants us to be that bright of a light in this world that people see, you know what? This isn't just it. There is something that I can put my hope in. There's someone that I can put my hope in, and I can see that he's real because he's real in this person's life. Again, you and I, we have to have a wise walk in being aware of our surroundings and people who may be hindering us. Again, when I say people, I'm talking, again, those on the radio, those singing songs, those in the news media, those that would cause us to doubt anything that God says, those that would cause us to even stray from the straight and narrow path and stray from the shepherding hands of Christ, those that would cause us to stray from being under the wings of God and being protected. All right, but we have to have this wise walk, being aware. Look at verse 8 and 10 of chapter 5. Again, talking about even having a light, in verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. I mean, as we once walked in darkness, not knowing where we were headed, not knowing what our future was, not knowing really good and evil, not knowing, you know, who's really on my side, who's not on my side, not having any clue whatsoever. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Skip down, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If you and I are going to have a wise walk with God, then we have to allow the Word of God to be that light that shines in our life, showing us what is and isn't right, showing us what's helping us to draw closer to the Lord, what's helping us not to draw closer to the Lord. Because in verse 10, he says, proving. Again, proving means to test, to examine, to scrutinize, to approve and deem worthy. Jesus said in John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. As we walk in the Spirit, as we follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit will not let you or me be caught off guard, be taken advantage of if we're walking in the Spirit, if we are leaning upon him and for direction in our life. He's not going to allow us to be taken advantage of. He's not going to allow us to be drawn away from what is right. But having a wise walk is to understand not that we just have the Word of God, but to apply it to our life, to believe it, to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Tonight, we need to desire to have a closer walk with God, a walk that truly benefits us, and a true Christian's walk truly does benefit the child of God. Now, when you think about verse 16 of Ephesians 5, 15 talks about having a wise walk, and verse 16 talks about a redeeming walk. In verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, yes, we know the days are evil. You know what? The days are short. Not just they're full of wickedness and evil, but the days are short. We're not even guaranteed tomorrow. But yet a lot of people live for tomorrow because they're not happy with the day they're in. And they're just longing for the next day when today might be the only day we get to do anything for God. So we have to have a redeeming walk, redeeming the time, as it says. Redeeming the time. In Psalm chapter 90, go to Psalm chapter 90. Because in order to redeem the time, we have to seize every opportunity that God gives us. Every opportunity that God gives us, we have to seize that opportunity, whether it's being an influence to somebody, whether it's helping somebody, whether it's allowing God to use you. Because listen, mine and your life is not our own. But often we live like it is. Often we live like, well, this is my life. And we forget that one day we're going to stand before our Maker, stand before our Redeemer, and give an account for the opportunities that we took advantage of and the opportunities that we did not take advantage of. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 and verse 12, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He goes on to say in verse 10, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Have no idea what age my life will end, and neither do you. Doesn't matter what doctors say, what doctors diagnose you with, they can't tell you the age that you will die. God has that appointment already scheduled. And we know the Bible says that life is but a vapor. My wife and I have been talking about this recently, just how, man, life has just flown by. I don't remember anything between the age of 30 and the age of 45. I remember turning 30 because it was a big deal. I was having a hard time turning 30. I don't know why. I just turned 49. Not a big deal. I know I'm creeping up on 50, and a lot of people worry about 50. Oh, 50, it's over the hill. And, you know, some people, you know, they have these funeral birthdays for people turning 50 with the black cake and all of that. And it's like, it's not a big deal. It's turning 50, okay? But I think turning 30 was, you know, from a young person to an adult now. It's like, whoa, there's a big change. You know, in your 20s, you're like, yeah, I'm still young. 30s, it's like your body starts snapping and crackling and popping. It's like, wait, I used to not do that. What's going on? I mean, there just seems to be a life change. But God tells us that we have to number our days and realize, you know what? Today is the day to live in. Today is the day to seize all the opportunities that God gives me. It may be an opportunity with a loved one. It may be an opportunity with a grandchild or a child. Or there's so many opportunities that God gives us that sometimes we just, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The opportunities that God gives us today need to be taken advantage of today. Now, I can't tell you what those opportunities are because your life is different than mine. But we all have opportunities every day. And the greatest opportunity is to be an influence on somebody else's life and to help somebody else see the need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But it may be somebody just needs help and God has revealed it to you that they need help. And then we have that struggle, I don't have time, or I'll talk to them later. But if God's showing us that moment, then we have to seize that opportunity. More people seize the opportunities for job employments than they do for the things that God brings into their life. People will quickly quit a job to go to another job. But when it comes to doing things for God, sometimes you're kind of slow at that, and God wants us to redeem the time because, you know what? We may never get that opportunity back. Whatever we didn't do yesterday that we wish we would have done, we don't get that opportunity back. We don't get yesterday back. We can't go back. And believe me, there's been things in my life that I've been like, man, if I can just go back and redo that, then things would be a little better now. We all have those regrets, and that's why we need to seize every opportunity that God gives us and to live in the day, plan for the future, but live in the day, applying our hearts unto wisdom, that today is the day that God wants me to cherish and seize every opportunity that He brings my way. And one of the greatest opportunities that He gives us every day is to cherish our time with Him. To cherish our time with Him. Look at Psalm 118. Because life is so busy, schedules are so full, things are on our minds, sometimes we skimp out. We skip out on quality time with the Lord. Well, you know, I got all of eternity to spend with God. I've got all of eternity to worship the Lord, but He's given us now that opportunity. He's given us that moment now to have our life influenced and impacted by His presence. In Psalm 118, look at verse number 24. Verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Again, like I said earlier, sometimes we're just wishing for the next day. We're just, you know what, I'm done with this day. Too many problems today. I'm just ready for the next day. And we check out. But again, God wants us to take those opportunities every day and say, "Lord, I can't do anything with this. I'm fed up with this. I've tried working it out on my own. And Lord, I should have brought it to you before. But Lord, would you have a little grace and help me now?" And give God those opportunities to do things in your life to help you and cherish each day that He gives you, because each day He gives you and me is a day to walk with Him. You can't get any wiser than that, choosing to walk with Christ every day. And somebody might say, "Well, I walk with Him every day." Do we really? Because to walk with Christ is to follow Him. Let Him lead. Let Him tell us what to do. Let Him give us things to do, and we do. Many times the disciples wanted Jesus to send the people away. They wanted things to be different. They were tired. And Jesus said, "Serve them." He said, "You go and do this." And they really had to do it in His strength, hoping that, you know, He just would give them the strength, and He always did. But every day we need to cherish the day with our Lord and Savior, because we can't get it back. Can't get it back. As parents that are still raising kids, and even those of us that take care of grandkids, those of us that have those opportunities, cherish those opportunities. We don't get them back. Once my kids become adults and move out of the house, they're not going to want to sit on my lap anymore. A lot of them are at the age now, you know, 11, 12, 17. They don't want to sit on daddy's lap anymore. I'm glad I still got some little girls that hang on me and want to sit on my lap, but I don't think I could get Nathan to sit on my lap. All right. I don't think I could get Dylan to do it either. I know I can't get Emily to do it. You know, my baby girl, even though she's in her 20s. What I'm saying is, you know what I mean, parents. You think back to those days when your kids were really kids, and you're like, "Man, I miss those moments. I miss those times." So every day, think about that with Christ. Cherishing every day and rejoicing in it. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Because you know what? We can truly rejoice and be glad in the day no matter what happens, because we're walking with Christ. We're allowing Him to lead us. We're allowing Him to watch over us, provide for us. And we truly do, as someone once said, even protect your time. Protect your time. Because go back and look at that verse 16. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. As we redeem the time each day, we need to protect that time. Because again, our Bible reading is important. Our prayer time is important. Talking with the Lord, walking with Him is important. And we got to protect that time. Just like you would protect the time that you've scheduled to spend with your kids or your grandkids. You don't want anything to interrupt that time because it's precious and you know you won't get it back. And we have to protect our time that He's given us. There in verse 16 it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Somebody said it this way, "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back." And how true that is. We need to redeem the time. We need to protect the time that God gives us and use the time every day that he gives us as though this is the last opportunity that I have. And lastly, I want us to think about our spiritual walk. Having a wise walk, choosing to walk with the Lord, having a redeeming walk, redeeming every day, and having a spiritual walk that truly does impact us for eternity. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're truly giving ourselves to the Spirit of God. You know what? We won't be drawn away. We won't let precious time just go by the wayside that we could be spending with the Lord when he gives us that extra time. We all have our scheduled time that we read and pray, but there's days where he gives us some extra time. You know, maybe an appointment, you're waiting for an appointment, or an appointment got canceled, or whatever the case may be. You get some extra time. Don't waste that time, because a spiritual walk with the Lord is the way to walk. Look at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's never get caught up on things that are trivial or things that are just kind of like an example. Here, again, people, "Oh, see, you can drink, you just can't drink in excess." You're missing the whole point. Because think about someone who does drink in excess. They have no control of themselves. They're not sober. They have no logical thinking. And the verse tells us, "But be filled with the Spirit." To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit, to have a mental capacity that is correct, that is Christ-like. Again, being drunk is not having any control, but being filled with the Spirit is having control, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that is guiding us and leading us. Remember, he's the comforter, he's the guide, he's the teacher, and he guides us into all truth. So the way is to be filled with the Spirit, and it is a choice. Because notice it says, "But be filled." It's a choice each of us have to make every day. Do I really want to walk with God today? I mean, I walked with him yesterday. That should be good enough. I mean, I'll just think about the things he talked about yesterday. But he's things that he has for us today. Our walk can become sweeter and sweeter, and the more sweet it comes, the more we want to be with him more and more and more. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, as we think about the choice, it's a choice we have to make every day. And it is a choice we don't think about often. We don't think about the repercussions of not choosing to walk in the Spirit. I mean, I believe we're living in the last days. The days are getting worse and worse. Wickedness is just getting worse and worse. Evilness seems to be rising up more and more and being in more control in this world, just as Jesus said, which I believe that the more we see wickedness and evilness abounding in this world should cause us to want to walk closer to the Lord, knowing that, you know what, today could be the day. Today could be the day the trumpet sounds. Today could be the day that I meet the Lord in the air. Because we see it, but if we're not walking with God daily, we're not going to be aware of it. We're not going to see it. We're not going to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. Because believe me, the Lord draws us unto him. And the Lord wants us to draw nigh unto him. But in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It's a choice. It's a choice to let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. Because you know what happens when the word of God dwells richly in our heart? It changes us from the inside out. It takes away the fear. It takes away the doubt. Anything that's contrary to the nature of God, the word of God removes. And it will even show things in our heart that we didn't even realize that was there, that's been influencing us wickedly and evilly against the things of God. So to let the Word of God dwell richly in us is not only to be a hearer of the Word, but a doer as well. And we do. We have to make that choice to walk with Him, make the choice to let the Holy Spirit change us from the inside out by the Word of God. But not only is it a choice, but when we make that choice, there's an evidence that will come forth in our life. In Galatians chapter 5, which gives us the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The evidence will show forth in our life. It's not by what we say, it's by our life. It's by our actions. And one of the actions that will be evident that we are walking in the Spirit is that, well, we will have a loving speech. We'll speak lovingly to others. We won't condemn them. We won't curse at them. We won't allow our anger to spew out of our mouth towards loved ones or even enemies. Ephesians 4:29, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." That's Colossians 4:6. I apologize. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." But pastor, you have no idea how this person is towards me. No, I don't. But what I do see in Scripture is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As He was crucified after being scourged and beaten and beyond recognition. It's amazing how some people can be so nice to strangers, but then to their spouse or their kids or some other loved one, they just let it all spew out. We, on the other hand, as God's people, have to be different. I've even seen church members spew it back and forth. Not in this church, thankfully, but I've seen it. I've even heard about it. Again, the evidence of us walking in the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit bearing out in our life through our speech and the fact that we will find things to sing joyfully about. When was the last time you and I actually sang joyfully unto the Lord? Even the hymns that we sang tonight, how joyful were you in singing those hymns? I admit there's been times on a Wednesday night, past, present, and probably in the future, where I will not be happy about something and really not want to sing the hymns, but do it because, you know what, I'm in front of you guys. But then as I sing the words and I'm looking at the words I'm singing and my heart's convicted, and during singing I ask God to forgive me for my bad attitude, then I have a joyful heart because I got it right with God, and now I can worship Him freely. Because you know what? If I regard iniquity in my heart, yes, the Lord will not hear me when I cry out to Him until I get that right, but I also won't even feel like worshiping Him properly or following Him. That's why it's important that you and I choose to have this walk with God, this walk that's a wise walk, a redeeming walk, a spiritual walk that I'm not just doing it to do it, but my life's being changed from the inside out. My heart's being changed. My relationship with Christ is becoming sweeter and sweeter, and I have something to sing about, even if I'm sitting in prison like Paul at midnight with my back bleeding, and we'll even say spiritually speaking, you know, it's midnight and you've got a lot of weight bearing down on you when your thoughts are troubling you, and yet you know you can go to the Lord like Paul and Silas did and sing praises to the very one that can change our circumstance around. Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." When was the last time we waited patiently? We'll wait patiently for the microwave. We'll wait patiently, you know, for something we're cooking. We'll even wait patiently in the line at the bank or wherever else that we're getting something we want, we'll wait patiently. But when was the last time we patiently waited for the Lord? And somebody might say, well, I waited patiently yesterday for 2 minutes and I gave up because God wasn't acting quick enough. I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know what? As we walk more and more with him, we know he hears our cries. We know he knows our heart. We know that he will come to our aid and he will help us. We have to wait patiently for him. In verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What would cause us to sing joyfully to the Lord? Well, if I won the lottery, if I had a better job, a better marriage, if I had better friends, if God just did everything I wanted without me having to ask, I mean, we have a list of things that, you know, that would be great. But when you read in Scripture, those that were singing, things weren't going too well for them. But they knew who was on their side. The very one that laid down his life for their soul. Do you remember who it was that laid down his life to redeem your soul? He's the one that we're to be singing to. He's the one we are to be walking with. And we can sing joyfully. We can walk hand in hand with our Savior and be thankful for where we're at tonight. That's impossible, someone might think, to be thankful where I'm at tonight. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and we'll end with this. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that you and I give thanks in everything. Even if it's a bad situation. Lord, I give you thanks that here's a bad situation that you get to show yourself mighty in, because I'm just trusting you're going to help me. Because you told me I can call on you. You told me that I could cry out to you, pour all, and cast all my care upon you. So I give thanks in this opportunity that I can sit back and have joy and peace in my heart because I am trusting you to come through for your child. And then you're able to start singing. Singing whatever hymn is your favorite hymn, whatever scripture reference is your favorite scripture reference to sing. I believe a lot of God's people are miserable in their life because they're not walking with God like they should be. I have learned by experience myself that when you don't walk with God, you're miserable. But when you have a close walk with God, even going through the valley of the shadow of death, you and I can still rejoice. You and I still have something to praise God about, because you know what? It could be a lot worse. And you think about whatever situation you may be in tonight, or when you're in a bad situation, just think to yourself, it could be worse. Because I could not be saved on my way to heaven. That would be worse. Not having a place prepared in heaven for me. Not being sealed by the Spirit of God. Not having a relationship with Christ. It could be a lot worse. And we have to remind ourselves of that quite often, because as we look around in this world, it's troubling. It's downright depressing at times. But our focus has to be back on Christ. He has me here for a reason. He wants me to follow him and walk with him through this world and work on my relationship with him, my walk with him, so that I can be a help to somebody else that he's brought into my life. So that I can finish my course with joy, just like Paul. Paul said he finished his race that God set before him because he kept the focus. He didn't allow the trouble he always seemed to find himself in with people or circumstances to destroy his faith. Tonight, it's simply reminding us we have a faith that is stronger and should be stronger than anything the devil throws our way, because our faith is in Jesus Christ, who overcame the world and overcame death for us and has delivered us. I don't care who's in your life you don't like or who bothers you or whatever it is. Our focus has to be Jesus Christ in order to finish the race he set before us, in order to be found faithful at his coming. He wants us to be found faithful, faithfully trusting him, faithfully following him, faithfully relying upon him, and letting him finish the good work that he started in us.